Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the Promised Land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Does anybody know what the chief score is? 21-0? I mean, not that I care, but, you know. For those that care, yeah, they're still same score. Doing well. Okay, on to better things. All Saints Day. All Saints Day. It's time to remember all the people before us who have come and fought the good fight and finished the race. And that's what our slideshow was during the choir, was those of us that, you know, people in our congregation, those that we knew. And so we kind of focus specifically during our service on those who we've lost. But it's really a much broader remembrance for those of us that are here this morning and for those of you that are watching online this morning, remembering for you all, the people that you're thinking of as well. About a month ago, my wife and I, we took an unexpected trip to Texas, and my Aunt Rhonda, she was listed in the slideshow, Rhonda Hickman, she passed away at the much too young age of 59 years old. And she left behind my three cousins, all three of my cousins in their 20s, early 30s, along with her husband of many years. Now, my aunt, she was a beautiful woman of faith, served her church, served her community, served her family, was beautiful in all those things that she did. Aunt Rhonda was the youngest of four children on my mom's side of the family. And I remember going to my grandma and grandpa's house in Texas when I was in middle school. I was very young. Grandma and Grandpa had a lake house. Grandpa would take me fishing, and so that's where I learned to fish and had just a really great time there. My aunt, about that time, she was finishing up college. I remember her being home some the summer, and I remember correctly, she was an education major and a piano music minor. I think she was a music minor, if I remember. And she played beautifully. She played beautifully. I loved to watch her play. Loved to listen to her play. And she was so gifted, and I know she had to work hard at it. And those of you that are pianist organists, they're gifted, but they also work very hard in order to play the way that they do. I grew up in Missouri, and so I wasn't around any of my extended family much. Texas, Oklahoma, that's where they all were. But I always enjoyed the moments that I had with them when I got to be with them. When I was around my aunt, I knew I was loved and cared for. I don't know if you had family members like that where you're around them. You knew they loved you. They cared about you. Everyone on my mom's side of the family, because they were Southern, had a Southern accent, right? I don't know if my mom, if she just kind of outgrew that when she moved here, or I just don't see it in my mom. She doesn't quite have the same accent that they do. But I've thought a lot lately about how my aunt would sweetly say my name with that accent of hers that she would have. And that side of the family, they still, I think I've shared this before, they still call me Jimbo, right? I'm Jimbo. If you all would please just stick with Pastor Jim or Jim, I mean, I think that would be a good thing. You know, Pastor Jimbo makes me sound like after the sermon, I'm going to blow up some balloon animals or juggle some bowling pins. So, Pastor Jim. All of us have likely had someone in our lives today that we are missing and that we are thinking about and that we want to give thanks for to God. We have candles set up here today in the space. You might have seen them as you came in. And they're here for you to remember your loved ones in that way. And so after you receive communion, where we come up, you receive communion, you can stop by the table and light a candle in someone's memory. And I assume you have a lighter that you're going to... Okay, you got it? All right. Just realized none of them are lit, so we'll do that. All of our collective experience today is a reminder of faith legacy. And that's really what we're talking about today. Faith legacy is what has been left in us and to us. It's both in us and to us. It has been left in us in the direct relationship with those that we loved, loved ones. And so people who were family, but also people who were part of our church family, this family. Many people, not all, some of you have grown up here most of your life, have family, most of your family here, but many people have more contact with their church family than they will with their direct family. Maybe not their entire life, but for seasons of life. Maybe you find yourself in one of those seasons. I'm an example of that. I mean, that's my story. As I shared, my extended family, they've always been states away. They've always been in Oklahoma or Texas, not Missouri. And so I have always spent more time with my church family than I have my extended family. But both my extended family and church family have left a faith legacy in who I am today. All of them have. And for most of us here, that's probably true for you as well, with your family and your church family. And maybe not this church, maybe it was a different church that has kind of poured into you at different times. And so a faith legacy has been made in us, but also a faith legacy has been left to us. Someday you'll be the name on the screen. I'm going to be the name on the screen. And you will be a memory that someone in this congregation in the sanctuary will hold dear to themselves. They're going to hold the thought of you. And so what kind of faith example are you leaving, are you making in people? Other people, people in your family, people in our church. So the author of Hebrews, he's sharing his faith legacy is what he's doing. These are men and women who shaped an entire people group, the Jews, the Jewish people. The Jewish people invested in one another and their family and their tribe, really. Their tribe was a descendant, a family member in some way. And this was just how it tended to be 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. Though Hebrews 11 shares many of those names, our section lifted up primarily Abraham and Sarah, though the rest of it lists up other names. And so Abraham was the one who covenanted with God that he would be their God, that Abraham's family would be their people, and it was an eternal covenant. And so nearly 2,000 years after the birth of Abraham and that covenant being made, the author of Hebrews remembers that faith legacy that was made in him and given to him. And he retells a story, not to a Jewish audience, not just to Jewish people, but to Christian people, Christian ones. Some of those Christian ones had been Jewish ones. And so as Christians, it's hard for us to separate out our Christian legacy apart from that Jewish one in the Bible. They run together in many ways. And Hebrews is the greatest evidence of that in the New Testament, of how all the Jewish legacy and the Christian legacy run together. They're a similar legacy, a similar story, intertwined with one another, even though none of us here today have a clue what it means to be Jewish. Like most of you don't have Jewish descendants, you don't have Jewishness in your blood. And so the author of Hebrews explains that our father Abraham and our mother Sarah were looking for a land that they could call their own land. But they would never find that land, but God promised it to their ancestors, that it would be their land and their place. And so Abraham and Sarah, they lived by faith and they journeyed with God. They journeyed with God. And as a result, they were welcomed into a heavenly city and a heavenly land as promised. Not an earthly land, but a heavenly land. So isn't that interesting that God made this promise only their descendants would see some of the process in earthly form, but Abraham and Sarah would, in heavenly form, find a new land. Church, we are all on a faith journey. It's not an easy journey. We could sit down and have some stories, couldn't we? We aren't always completely sure where we are going, but that's actually a part of the faith journey. That's a part of it. You see, and those who do not make the faith journey cannot complete the faith journey. You've got to go on it to complete it. So along the way of our journey, there will be people. Younger people, older people. And so to miss an opportunity to fellowship and befriend these people is to miss a crucial aspect of the faith journey that you are in fact on. One of the most important aspects of the journey. And so today I just ask you to be careful and to stop and to see and to befriend people who are also on the journey that they might receive your legacy and be a part of your legacy. One person I'm remembering this morning, I'll end with this. This person I'm thinking of, he was one of the last funerals I did when I was at Hallsville United Methodist Church, Hallsville. He was one of the last gentlemen that I did a funeral for. His name was Barry. And Barry he wasn't like a long time Hallsville member. Like, it was actually a very, very short time. He had transferred in from another Methodist church in Columbia, but wanted to be a part of Hallsville. Barry was someone who surprised me. He surprised me. The more I got to know him, the more I was moved by who he was and how he believed. The first thing I noticed about Barry when I met him was he was kind of quirky. I mean, you know, he's usually kind of quirky, but I quickly learned that he knew that about himself, and it didn't slow him down, his kind of quirkiness. And I liked that about him. I came to actually love that about him. He had this awareness around how people kind of received him at times, but it didn't stop him from wanting to achieve his goals and to go after those things passionately. And let me tell you about Barry's goals. Let me tell you what Barry was focused on, just like acutely focused on. Barry believed in institutions and the difference institutions could make in society. He came from that generation. He firmly believed in those things. And what I can tell you is that Barry was very sad at times. And he was sad because he saw institutions struggling because society has kind of stopped believing fully in institutions the same way they did 40 years ago. And that kind of hurt him deeply that was the case. But he didn't stop. He didn't stop caring. He didn't stop. He didn't say, well, I guess I can, you know, if it feels like nobody cares anymore, I don't care. Like, that wasn't his opinion at all. And so he just continued. I mean, he continued all the way up until the day he died, like until he passed, which wasn't expected. He had a heart issue, and he continued to support the United Methodist Church. He supported the Boy Scouts and loved the Boy Scouts. And the Optimist Club. He's part of the Optimist Club, and I'm pretty sure that was the organization that he invested in. All three of those things heavily, very active. And I should also probably go on to mention that Barry loved the Chiefs. He was a tenacious, and this morning it would have been tough for him. I think Barry would have gone to church, but probably been looking at his phone the entire time, kind of seeing. And so I was really thrilled that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl before he passed away. So he got to see them win that first Chiefs game. We had a party over at our house. I remember Barry just came up out of his chair like a madman. It was actually kind of startling how much he got into it. So Barry and I, we met quite a few times before he died. I've just never seen somebody work so hard and articulate so well their commitment to church and community and the way that they went about it and why it was important to them. And so he made an impression on me in that way because of who he was. And even though the world that he invested in, you know, the world he said was taking on a new shape, he would tell me, Pastor Jim, the world today is just not what I remember it being. And he would say to me, it feels very foreign to me today to be in this world. The things that they prioritize that I don't prioritize, the things that I prioritize that I don't feel like other people prioritize. He would say, this land feels foreign to me. But I know that today he's home. I know that Barry arrived in a home that is no longer unfamiliar. It's very familiar. It's not foreign. It's home. And that's where he's at this morning. Now, for most of us, if we live long enough, life is going to be like that. Life is going to be like that. It's going to change. It's going to be different. It's going to unfold. You thought it was going to unfold this way and that things were heading this way and it's going to go a different way. And that might leave you feeling kind of panicked and fearful and like you're in this foreign place. But what I can tell you is that that's the journey. That's the faith journey that we are on. And that's why we have faith. And we have beliefs. And we hold to those beliefs. And so be careful in your life that you don't spend too much time looking for your specific destination, a specific earthly destination. Because an earthly destination is not the goal, that tangible place, even as it wasn't for Abraham and Sarah. Your faithfulness to your God and to the people God has surrounded you with, that is your legacy. That is your goal. That is your journey that you are on. And so, church, don't lose focus of that. That's what today reminds us of, not to lose focus on that thing. My friend Barry and my aunt died at the age of 59, way too young. But not too young to create a faith legacy, both for their families and for their communities that they were involved in. Friends, you're never too young. You're never too old to make a decision to focus on the legacy of faith that you are leaving to someone else. That legacy has been made in you, and it has been given to you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for legacy. I thank you for people that placed legacy in me and placed faith in me, and for the opportunity to be able to do what I do, and just to remind brothers and sisters in Christ to focus on faith. Lord, life is hard. There were things that we did not plan for. There were futures that we all dreamed of that did not come to pass in totality like we wanted. And some of that is where we end up and where we're going. And yet we know that faith is always with us. You, God, are always with us. The community of faith is always around us. And so we thank you for that. Lord, help us to invest in other people and to receive investments because that's legacy. Thank you, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.